Well, this morning our Bibles are pre-marked to Matthew chapter number 16. But before we get to Matthew chapter number 16, church, I just want to remind us again of our theme that's carrying us for the first half of 2018. And we know that that theme is and has been preparing the church for the next move of God, preparing the church for the next move of God. And so when we're looking at preparing the church for the next move of God, we're talking about making the church ready. We're talking about making the church available, and we're talking about equipping the church for a specific purpose. Equipping the church for a specific purpose. And we realize that the next move of God requires change. We know that it requires change. Whenever God got ready to move, he was bringing about change. So as it relates to From the Heart Church Ministries Worldwide, we realize and understand that God is in fact changing dispensations within the church. And as God is changing dispensations in the church, we know even now that it's going to bring change. And as it brings change, it is in fact for God's glory, and it is in fact for our benefit. And we understand that as we look at the next move of God, it's going to require us to do some things. It's going to require us to leave that which is in fact familiar. It's going to require us to leave that which is, in fact, familiar. See, if we're going to step into something new, we can't find ourselves dependent upon old knowledge. We cannot find ourselves dependent upon familiar knowledge. And that's going to require us to begin to adjust some knowledge that we may have. There's going to require us to add some additional knowledge. Whenever God wants to change and bring change, he's challenging our familiar knowledge. He's challenging our familiar knowledge. You know, what he wants us to know and to realize that if we're going to change, we cannot hang on to and we cannot hold on to familiar knowledge. See, because familiar knowledge causes us to keep doing what we've been doing. It causes us to keep doing what we have, in fact, been doing. But God's trying to get us to do something different. He's trying to get us to grow. He's trying to get us to mature. And as we grow and mature, we cannot hang on to familiar knowledge. We're going to have to be able to acquire brand new knowledge. See, we don't want to go through life just hanging on with childlike knowledge. Are we yet together, church? See, when we become men, we have to take on men-like knowledge. See, it's one thing to be a boy, but to be a man, we have to take on man-like knowledge. We can't live an adult life hanging on to childlike knowledge. Are we yet together? We also come to understand that if we're going to prepare ourselves for the next move of God, that's going to require us to leave that which is comfortable. We're going to have to leave that which is comfortable. We're going to have to leave that which is comfortable. See, because comfort keeps us from doing the will of God. Comfort will keep us from doing the will of God. Not only will it keep us from doing the will of God, but it will keep us from seeking and saving the lost. We also understand that we're going to have to leave that which is secure. See, we're going to leave that which is secure. And the security I'm talking about is natural security. See, oftentimes what happens is that we're hanging on to natural security. And the Lord wants us to know is that I'm trying to take you someplace. And as I'm trying to take you someplace, you cannot keep holding on to the side of the pool. You cannot keep holding on to the side of the pool. See, my next move for you is in the deep. It's beyond your comfort zone. Church, the will of God is always beyond our comfort zone. It is always beyond our comfort zone. And the will of God is always in front of us. The will of God is not behind us. See, yesterday is gone. See, yesterday is gone. There's nothing that we can do about yesterday. The only thing that we can do about yesterday is to learn from yesterday and to move on. Because there's nothing that we can do. See, we can't go back and change who won last year's Super Bowl. See, that's in the past. And so it's in the past because it's past our reach. See, we can't reach into yesterday to change anything. So the only thing that we can do is to leave yesterday in the yesterday and to leave our past in the past. And the Lord wants us to know that oftentimes we can find ourselves looking in the past and we're looking into things that will provide us natural security. And the Lord is letting us know is that as long as you're hanging on to those natural things and you believe that is in fact providing you security, it's going to keep you from changing and it's going to keep you from moving on. And that's important for us to realize and to understand. And church, we have to settle in our hearts that God will not fail us. You know, when you go to the pool, you have lifeguards. You have lifeguards in case something happened. Church, we have a lifeguard. But the beautiful thing about our lifeguard, he knows what's going to happen. And he's always prepared. And what he's challenging us to do is to leave that which you think is secure, your natural security, your stuff and your things, your career and your job. He says, those things are not your security. He says, I am. Church, none of those things are our source. All of those things are just resources. They're not our source. And the Lord is challenging us. You can't find security in those things. I'm your security. And my will is outside of your comfort zone. Church, the next move of God, what God wants to do in us and through us, is not going to be familiar. It's not going to be comfortable. And it's not going to be comfortable. And that's how we can tell when we're growing. If we're comfortable and we're hanging on to that which is familiar, and we're hanging on to natural things as our security, church, we're not growing. We're not growing, we're not developing. And the Lord says, I need you to grow. I need you to mature. But you're going to have to leave that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure. Church, are we it together? And so therefore, as we have been working with this, and as we have been looking at this, and church, I just want to remind us of some things. I just want to remind us of some things that we have in fact been taught thus far. What we have been taught thus far is that we have been made for God's purpose. We have been made for God's purpose. And oftentimes we believe that we can just pick and choose our purpose. And you could even go to the bookstores and find books and buy books on how to discover your purpose. And so many people want to buy those books and they want to find their purpose. As a matter of fact, those books, that genre of books, are one of the best-selling books that there are. Because people have questions in their hearts as it relates to why am I here? What is this really all about? I know that life is supposed to have meaning, but it doesn't have meaning for me. And so I'm looking for meaning. But church, I want us to know and understand. See, it's not us that has determined our purpose, because we didn't make ourselves. The Bible lets us know that God has made us and not we ourselves. And so whoever has made us has determined our purpose. He has determined the reason as it relates to why we are in fact here. And we have to settle in our hearts that we have been made for his purpose. And our fulfillment is in fulfilling his purpose for our lives, not our own purpose. I know we like to choose our purpose, and we believe that our purpose is to be rich and to be famous and all those types of things. And we set our course out in life to be rich and famous. And then as we begin to see the days, the months, and the years begin to dwindle by, and we're not yet rich and we're not yet famous, and we start to get nervous, we start to get upset, we start to get agitated, we start to get to the point where we can even become depressed. And so, but I want us to realize and understand that we are, in fact, here for God's purpose. And God's purpose has determined the times in which we find ourselves living in. God's purpose for us has determined whereby we have come into the earth, determined our parenting, had determined the place where we were born, determined the time that we were, in fact, born. And we realize and understand that we're here to be used by God. And church, there's nothing more fulfilling than to be co-laboring with the Lord in what he has to do here in the earth. And we have to realize and understand God's purpose for our life is greater than anything that we can muster up in the carnality of our minds. Because whatever we muster up in the carnality of our minds as it relates to our purpose, whatever we're going to do and accomplish is temporary. But God has called us to a greater work. He has called us to work to make a difference in someone's life that is, in fact, eternal. It is, in fact, eternal. Church, that's a great word. And so, therefore, church, as we are here this afternoon, and I want us to remind us of this series that we now find ourselves in. And here in Matthew chapter number 16, we're going to go back to our foundational scripture for this particular series. And we realize even now that we must know why we're here. We must accept who we are if we're going to prepare ourselves for the next move of God. Because we know that who we believe ourselves to be determines what it is that we do. And so it's important that we know and that we accept who we are. And here in Matthew chapter number 16, let's begin reading verse number 13 again. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, thou art the anointed one and the Son of the living God." In verse number 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he says, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." And then he goes on and said, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus says, "Upon this rock I shall build my church." What he's talking about is the profession of faith. He's talking about our profession of faith, of believing who he is and that he has been, in fact, been sent. He has, in fact, lived, and he was, in fact, crucified, and he was, in fact, buried, and he was raised again from the dead in and on our behalf, so that we might be made free from a life of sin and death, so that we might truly become who God has created us to be and do what he has, in fact, sent us to do. And it's upon that profession, and it's upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that he says, "I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my called out assembly. I'm going to build out my called out assembly." And sometimes we call it the body of Christ. And some people even call it a spiritual house whereby God dwells. And many people also call it a spiritual family. But nevertheless, church, we realize and understand that we're teaching from the series entitled "Church is Who We Are." Church is who we are, those that have, in fact, placed their faith in Jesus Christ, those that believe in who he is and what he has, in fact, taught and what he has, in fact, done in and on our behalf. We are, in fact, the church. So when we talk about the church, we're not talking about this church. We're not talking about this building. And we realize and understand that oftentimes people call the building in whereby the church gathers the church. But we have to settle in our hearts that when Jesus was talking about building a church, he was not talking about using natural stones. What he was talking about, he's talking about using living stones. And you and I are, in fact, the living stones whereby he uses to build his church, to build his body, to build his family. And we know even now that when we got saved, he put his spirit in us so that he might dwell in his church. Yeah, because he has a work to do in the earth. But he can't do it without his church. See, you and I can't do anything without our bodies. Well, see, so it is with God. God wants the church to extend his earthly ministry here in the earth. And church, our purpose has been tied to that work. Oftentimes when things happen, people begin to wonder, where's the church? I mean, not even where's the church, where's God? But the question really is, where is church? Where is the church? Where is the church? And so what we're dealing with is that we want to come to an understanding as it relates to who we are. Church is who we are. Church is not what we do. Church is who we are. We are the church. Each and every one of us, the Lord by his Spirit is building a church in each and every one of us so that collectively when we come together, we make up the church. We make up a visible church. Are we yet together, church? And so therefore, church, if we're going to prepare the church for the next move of God, we have to know and accept who we are. We have to know and accept who we are. We have to know and we have to accept that we are the church. The church is who we are. The church is who we are. And so also as we look in this series, we want to know and accept who we are, but I'm looking to to us to develop the proper attitude toward church. To develop the proper attitude toward church. Because if we believe that the church is something that we attend, we'll have one attitude. But when we settle in our hearts that we are the church, we'll have a different attitude. See, because if church is just something that I attend, then I'm not all that interested in preparing the church for anything. But when I realize and understand that I am the church, then I have a different attitude toward preparing. Are we here together? All right, church. It is a big difference in being an attending church and knowing that I'm a part of the church. There's a great big difference. See, there's a difference between your feet attending your body and your feet being a part of your body. Are we together? I hope so. And so therefore, I wanted to teach us several things as it relates to knowing and accepting who we are and developing a proper attitude toward church. I wanted to teach us the purpose of the church. I wanted to teach us that Christ is building the church. And I wanted to teach us that Jesus is the head of the church. And then lastly, I want to teach us that we are from the heart. We are from the heart so that we would have the goal of having the proper value and care for church. And we looked at the purpose of the church, and we know that the purpose of the church is to show the world who God is. It's to show the world who God is. And we wanted to lift up Jesus. And the way that we lift up Jesus is how we care for one another. And so it's how we care for one another that gives the world evidence of a God that we speak of that they cannot see. See, because what happens when we assemble ourselves together, they can see the love that we have one for another. And it's that love that we have one for another that they're able to see and to know and begin to understand who God is and what he's about and what his love is all about. So much so that they begin to realize and understand when I look at those people over there, they love one another. When I see those people over there and how they care for one another, how they look out for one another, I believe I want to be a part of that. And I believe that when I hear that God is love, I'm seeing a live example right before me of what it means to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. See, I see and understand how they respond to one another. I see and understand how they speak to one another and how they care for one another, how they begin to rally around one another. I want to be a part of that. And so when I begin to look at my life, I'm not experiencing that type of thing. And people have been telling me that they love me, but I'm not sure I'm receiving what those people over there are receiving. And so we have to realize, church, it's what happens with between one another that makes God visible. It's the love of God. There's a counterfeit for a lot of things, but you can't counterfeit the love of God. You can't counterfeit the love of God. The love of God is without partiality. He's no respecter of person. See, that's what happens in the church. There's no respecter of person. See, we don't care where we have come from because all of us have come from somewhere. All of us have had our conversation in times past. So it doesn't matter from whence we have come. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that we're here and God wanted us here. And he wanted us here for this time. And he wanted us to be part of his body, to extend his earthly ministry, to show the world who he is. Church, if the world can just see who God is, they will receive him. And it begins with love. And they have to see the love of God in the body of Christ. They have to see the love of God in the body of Christ. And they begin to realize that God has love for them too. Then also we begin to look at the Christ is building the church. When we think of Christ building the church, we begin to discover what Jesus is actually doing when he's building a church. He's a preparing a place for the unbeliever. He's preparing a place for the unbeliever. And the place that he's preparing is in the church, not the building. He's preparing a place in us for the unbeliever. He's preparing our hearts for the unbeliever. That's the place. And we know that God won't bring anyone into a place that's unprepared. And so what he's doing in this time is he's looking for a place. He's looking for a church where he can bring unbelievers into where they will in fact be safe. That they wouldn't in fact be loved, that they wouldn't in fact be cared for, and that they wouldn't in fact be taught how to live, and that they wouldn't in fact be taught who they are, and they wouldn't in fact be taught the things that they need to do to know to become the people that they desire to be. It's our hearts that makes the place safe. It's our hearts that makes the place safe. Amen. Safety is not in our physical location. No, that's not the place. The safe place is in the will of God. The church is meant to be a safe place. And it's safe because the church, the people that make up the church, have safe hearts. And there's nothing in their heart that's going to cause harm to those that the Lord wants to bring into the church. We also said that we had to be one and that the love of God must be in our hearts. We also looked at Jesus as the head of the church. He's the head. He's preeminent. He's our example. He's the office of authority and rulership. And so we follow his example and we follow his directions. And so therefore we come to understand now, church, for the rest of our way this morning, I want to teach from the subtitle, We Are From the Heart. We are from the heart. And the reason we want to deal with we are from the heart because we are, in fact, the church. We are, in fact, a local church that's part of a worldwide ministry around the world. But church, it's important that we understand who we are as from the heart. And from the heart is the banner whereby we lift up Jesus. We don't lift up from the heart. It's just a banner that we have that we all assemble ourselves under. And under that banner, we lift up Jesus because it's all about Jesus. See, it's not about the Episcopal pastor. It's not about the bishop. It's not about the pastors. You know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Because we know that what man needs is Jesus. What you and I need is Jesus. See, all the other parts are interchangeable. Are we here together? All the other parts are interchangeable. See, because none of us are going to live forever. So what we want is that we want people to have Jesus. See, there's no power in our name. The power is in the name of Jesus. Are we yet together? All righty. And so here's the thing. Church is who we are. And so we want to deal with we are from the heart. And so what we're looking to do is to know and understand what that means for us. What that means for us as being a church, a body of believers. But before we get there, church, let me just run down a few things before we jump off into this. Here's the thing. Jesus is man's only access to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father but by me. Matter of fact, Jesus came to let the people know that no man knows the Father but me. No man knows the Father but me. No man knows God but me and to whom I reveal him to. So Jesus is man's only access to God and church is man's only access to Jesus. Jesus is man's only access to God, and church is man's only access to Jesus. See, the only way that we could get to Jesus is that we had to come into the church. We had to come into his body. And so if I'm not in his body, I don't have access to God, because I don't have access to Jesus. And God has placed all power and authority in the hand of Jesus. And so if we're going to get anything from God, it's going to come from God through Jesus into the church. So if man is going to get anything from God, he's going to have to be part of the body. He's going to have to be part of the body. And so if I'm just attending, I'm not really a part of, I'm missing what God has for me. I'm missing what God has for me. And that's because, listen, church is where we're connected to what God is doing. See, Jesus said, I need a body. See, because, see, I can't stay here in the earth, because, see, if I stay in this body, the only thing that's going to be accomplished is what I accomplish while I'm in this body. And so if I'm in Jerusalem and you're in Galilee, you're going to be hurt. So he says, I've got to get out of here, because I can't stay here. I've got to get out of here. And so what happens is that, see, what I'm going to then do, I'm going to create a body. I'm going to create an assembly of people that believe and that have professed and those that have given their life to me. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to dwell in them by my spirit, and I'm going to work through them by my spirit to do what I would do if I was walking the earth. And so now it's just not one-on-one type of help. It's a help for a lot of folks at the same time. Come on, church, are we together? And so if I'm going to be connected to what God is doing in the earth, I've got to be part of the body. Many people are asking, well, where is God? What they're saying is, where is the church? See, for God to do something in the earth right now, in this dispensation, he has to do it through his body. The body of Christ. He has to do it through the church. Meaning church, he has to do it through each and every one of us. So if we shut him down, guess what's happening? His work is not getting done. People are looking for God and they can't find him. They can't see him because man has gone off and taken the church to do something else and to be something else. But God is not pleased with that. And what he says is that I need to do something in the earth right now, but I'm looking for some folks. Yes, yes. I'm looking for some folks. I'm looking for my church. I'm looking for folks that have a safe heart where I can trust the unbeliever that I want to bring into the church so that I can reach them, so I can heal them, so I can make them whole, so that they can live the life that Jesus died for them to live. But I need some folks. I need some people that are willing. I need some people that live outside of their self-interest. I need some people. Come on, church. There's some people that are lost. They don't know that they're my lost child. I'm trying to find the branches of my family that would have open hearts and open minds to bring the lost family members into their heart and treat them like good family members. Are we together, church? That won't talk about them, that won't condemn them. I'm looking for a safe place. Church is where I'm connected to what God is doing. And God is doing through the church. See, some people think that God's just going to mysteriously, by his spirit, just move through the ether. No, God does move by his spirit, but he moves by his spirit in those that are in the church. Are we together? And church is a means of carrying out our purpose, our life purpose. Church is the means whereby we do that. Church is an answer to our prayers. I said our prayers. It's not only the answer for the prayer of the lost, those that are looking for God, searching for the truth and looking for directions, but church is also the answer to our prayers. That's how you found yourself in church, because church was an answer to your prayer. And you know in your heart that there's more to you than people have seen. And you know in your heart that you're here for a reason. And you know in your heart that you want to help people. But when you look at yourself, you say, well, who am I and what can I do all by myself? The Lord says, I've taken care of that. See, I've got a church. I've got a body. So you don't have to try to do it all by yourself. See, because you will fail by yourself. When you were a child and you were used to fight on the playground in school, you all remember that? Fisticuffs, you all remember that, don't you? You felt a whole lot better when you had a whole lot of people with you. We felt a whole lot better when we had a whole lot of people with us. And you remember when you were throwing hands, as they say? You weren't throwing up your little pinky. You had all 10 of them babies together. See, hitting somebody with your pinky didn't do much damage. But see, if I can lay 10 of these on you, you know, something's going on. Well, see, it's the same way in our lives. We can't do anything for God by ourselves. We can't do a thing for God by ourselves. And in your heart, when you drive down the street and when you look on the news on social media, when you look at what's happening, your heart sinks to the bottom. Something's got to be done. Somebody's got to do something, and it's the church. It's the church. Are we yet together? Listen, so the church is the answer to our prayers. Not only is it the answer to our prayers, but it's the answer to the prayers of those that are lost. And so therefore, church, the church is where all of us can become who we desire to be. The church is a place where all of us can become who we desire to be. And so as we begin to look at this, let's go to Romans chapter number 6. We're looking at we are from the heart. And as we're looking at we are from the heart, we have to know, accept, and understand who we are if we're going to prepare the church for the next move of God. Knowing, accepting, and understanding who we are also begins to determine what it is that we do. And so as we're looking at this last objective in this series, church, I'm looking to adjust our attitude. Because attitude is critical to our success and failure. You know, you can take two evenly matched NBA teams or NFL teams, and they can have wonderful game plans and all those types of things, but typically the team that's going to win comes down to the team that has a proper attitude. is the proper attitude. I was listening to something the other day, and there was these people that were talking. These were billionaires and multi-billionaires, and they were talking about their lives and all those types of things, how they go about their daily lives. And one of the things that each of them said, or the ones, at least the ones I heard said, was that they fix their attitude before they leave the house. That's the first thing in the morning. They fix their attitude. They do work as it relates to fixing their attitude, because attitude has a lot to do with the outlook on the issues that they're going to face. Because if they try to deal with the issues that they're going to face with a bad attitude, it's not going to work for them. And they say, we didn't get here by bad attitude. We got here as a result of our attitude. See, attitude is able to discern or determine whether or not it's a mountain or a molehill. Some people can look at certain situations and it's a mountain. Other people look at it and it's a molehill. And the difference is attitude. For some, you know, situations will take us under. For others, 'tis but a scratch. Attitude. Are we together? And so, church, I want to make sure that we have the proper attitude. I want to make sure we have the proper attitude. And so, therefore, I'm going to teach us seven things as it relates to who we are as from the heart. And so the first thing I'm going to teach us is what's in the name. What's in the name? Romans chapter number 6, are we there? We want to know what's in the name from the heart. It's the name out front. It's the name on our bulletins. And it's the name that we put on all of our correspondence. It's the name that's on the banner whereby we're under to lift up the name of Jesus. And church, we want to know, well, what's in the name. And there's something in the name. See, it's just not a name. There's something in the name. And I want us to know what's in that name. So whenever we hear the name, what comes up in our minds is what's in the name. So here in Romans chapter number 6, let's begin reading in verse number 16. Romans 6, 16, are we there? He said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. He said, now, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have heard from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I speak after the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What the word of God is letting us know, there was a time when we were bound to sin. We were servants to sin. But guess what? We heard. We heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and we obeyed from our hearts. We obeyed from our heart what we had heard, what had been taught, and we were made servants of righteousness. Church, something happened with our hearts. Something was flowing through our hearts that brought about a difference, that brought about a change. And so when we look at what's in our name, it lets us know and it reminds us that it's about the heart. It's about the heart. See, because it's the heart that reveals who we are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and speakings and all the list of sin that comes out of the heart. The heart matters. The heart reveals who we are and it determines what we do. And church, God is more concerned with our hearts when we do what we do. And sometimes we focus on what we do, but God's more interested in our hearts when we do what we do. See, because we can do the right thing with the wrong heart. And even if we do the wrong thing with the right heart, he says, I'll cause all things to work together for your good. God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. The heart is important to the Lord. And so when the Lord spoke to the Episcopal pastor's heart to start the church, he gave the Episcopal pastor this name. He said, now call the church from the heart. See, I need a church in the earth that will have a heart after my own heart. See, because if I can get a church in the earth after my own heart, see, I can know that's a safe place. See, I need a church that's going to have a heart for the unbeliever. I need a church that's going to have a heart for those that are seeking and searching. I need a church that's going to have a heart for and be a safe place, because I want to draw some people out of the world into a safe place, but I need somebody with the proper heart. I need people that won't condemn them. I need people that when people come in, they use curse words, and I need some people that's a little understanding, and understanding that they're using the words that they know. See, we just assume now that people don't use that language. And it's foreign to our ears, and we go off the chain. You can't say that. They're saying what they know. They're dressing how they know. They work how they know. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn. He says, I came to save and restore. Listen, you know, some of you all use foul language. See, I'm excluding myself. Because truth be told, I probably used it once, and when I used it once, I said, man, what you saying? You don't even sound right using it. Shut up. But nevertheless, you may have used foul language because that's what you knew. We can't do any better than what we know. And so we can't be in a position to judge. See, when somebody does something that doesn't make sense to us, see, we don't condemn them. What we do is that we have an opportunity to give them Christ. But it depends on what's flowing through my heart. See, because whatever's flowing through my heart is going to come out of my heart. And so as it relates to from the heart, what's in the name is about the heart. And so we want to make sure that there's something good flowing in our heart so it can come out of our hearts. And so what that means for you and I is that, church, we give our hearts to Jesus. We give our hearts to Jesus. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, you know what we do? We guard what our eyes see, because it's going to go in our hearts. We guard what our ears hear, because we have to be careful, it's going to go into our hearts. We guard what we allow our hands to touch and to handle, because it's going to go into our hearts. We even guard what we smell. Come on now. Because you can ride certain places and you can smell certain things. And smelling certain things can take us back. Come on now. Come on now. Now, listen, I can remember being saved. I can remember going to a church fellowship where the unmarried people got together to barbecue and play volleyball and play games and all those types of things on Saturday in preparation for Sunday. But nevertheless, I can remember riding through certain neighborhoods and you know, when the grills start going and you start smelling the barbecue and all those types of things, and there was a time in life when the barbecue was going, we did certain things. And so I can begin to smell certain things. You can be taken back there and it be in your heart. Church, we have to guard our hearts, what our eyes see, what our ears hear, what our hands handle, what we smell, and even what our mouth tastes. Because what's in our heart is going to be done. Whatever enters into the heart determines what is going to be done. It determines who we are, and it determines who we're going to become. It's our heart that makes us from the heart. And the thing about from the heart, every believer should be from the heart. Every believer should be from the heart. Every believer should give their hearts to Jesus. Every believer shall obey from their heart. Every believer shall do the will of God from their heart. And God is always looking at our hearts. Man looks up on the outward appearance, but God looks up on the heart. God said to man to go find the next king of Israel. Sent him to a house of a man named Jesse. And he said, the next king is in Jesse's house. And Jesse paraded all of his sons before the man that God had sent. And the man that God had sent said, no, it's none of these. Do you have any other sons? And, well, I got one more son. And, you know, he's small, he's ruddy, you know. he's not all that. He said, bring him. He found him because he wasn't looking on the outward appearance. He was looking on the heart. See, we like to think that God's looking at our stature and our appearance in man's eyes, but God's looking at our heart. And then point number two, love is our foundation. Love is our foundation. This church is built on love. From the Heart Church Ministries worldwide is built on love. What that means is that we love God because he first loved us, not because of what we can get from him. We don't love God because of his benefits. We just love God because of what he has, in fact, done for us and who he is. We're looking for his face. We're not looking for his hand. We're looking for his face, and we're not looking for his hands. See, because there was a time where all of us were enemies of God. He loved us while we were still enemies. Come on now. He loved us while we were still enemies. We were liars, cheaters, backbiters, fornicators, adulterers, and, you know, and such like. But he loved us. We used foul language, didn't know how to dress, didn't know how to carry ourselves, didn't know what to do, didn't know how to do it, any of those things, but he didn't condemn us. He loved us. So as relationship from the heart, we want to have the heart that the Lord has. We want a heart that's full of love. This church is built on love. And we want to love Jesus more than we love anyone or anything else. That's what Jesus told the folks, unless you love me more than you love your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, he says, you're not worthy of me. He says, you got to love me more. I didn't say you don't love them. You have to love me more than you love them. But sometimes, church, we get things confused, and what we end up happening over the course of our lives, we start loving other people and other things more than we love the one who saved us. And it causes our priorities to get out of order in life. But the thing about loving Jesus and keeping his commandments is that the commandments tell us how to love the ones that we want to love. And what causes us to keep the commandments of God is the love that we have for Jesus. So in order to love anyone else, we're going to have to love him first. But anytime we put Jesus at the end of our priority list, what's happening is that we're not loving him. And guess what, church? We're not loving anyone else either. We just think we are. Are we yet together? Come on, church. And so we love Jesus more than anyone or anything else. Church, nothing comes between me and the Lord. Nothing or no one. Nothing or no one comes between me and the Lord. And we show Jesus that we love him by obeying his commandments. And it shows him that we love him. It shows us, we show him how we love him by keeping his commandments. Love, and then also we love to give. You know why? Because love compels us to give. Love compels us to give. See, there was a time that we were in bondage, we were trapped, we were alienated, shut off from the life of God. We were not the people who we desired to be. And so we found ourselves trapped in this life. But lo and behold, someone had enough love in their heart for Jesus to tell us the good news. And we changed. We give because we don't want anyone else to experience what we experienced. And the Lord says that whenever you give to the least of your brothers and sisters, you know what you're doing? You're giving for me. See, we think we're giving for ourselves. No, we're giving for him. See, because he has to work through his body. Are we together, church? He has to work through the body. And so if we, the body, shut him down, then he can't reach the lost. And so if he's working through his body and his body shuts down, he can't do what he wants to do. And he has to keep trying to find. He has to keep trying to find the body. He has to keep trying to find a church with a heart that will allow him to work through their hearts. Church, none of the stuff that we have belongs to us. Everything that we have, we received, including the body we're in. Naked we came in, and we're going to leave this body here this time when we leave it. And we learned in Tuesday night Bible study that God will not abandon a cheerful giver. He says, I'll make sure you have something to give, and I'll make sure your needs are met. You know why? Because you're giving for me. See, it's not that you bought the 15th car, but you were giving to change somebody else's life. And it wasn't just the financial resources, it was the gifts, the talents, and abilities that you and the skills that you have. Are we together, church? See, because giving proves our love for him. There's no way for us to prove the love of God without obeying his commandments. And if we obey his commandments, we'll give. Church, it's just that simple. If we love God, we'll give. If we love one another, we'll give. If we don't, we just won't. And we just have to leave it right there. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Are we together? Because love is the foundation of this church. We love God. We hate sin and we love to give. Then number three, we're talking about knowing and accepting who we are as from the heart. We believe the doctrine. We believe the word of God. And we believe that the word of God is not optional. And we believe that the word of God is not optional. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that has in fact been settled in my heart. It has been settled in our hearts. We believe the word of God. We believe that it contains everything necessary for our restoration. We believe that it contains everything necessary for us to live this life and to become all that God has created us to be. We believe the word of God. Social media doesn't have anything for us when it comes time to making choices and decisions and raising our children. We don't believe that. I don't need to go to a keyboard counselor when I have the spirit of the creator dwelling on the inside of me. I have the spirit of God dwells on the inside of me, the same spirit that authored this word. And so I don't need to go anyplace else other than what he said. For he is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And we have to realize and understand that he has made and created everything visible and invisible. And so if I need fixing, if you drive a Rolls Royce, why pick up a Hyundai owner's manual? Church, the Word of God reveals God's heart towards us. Fourthly, I want to share with us our source of power. From the Heart actually started about 35, 37 years ago with 24 people in the family room. Now there are hundreds of churches on five or six continents of the earth. Church, that doesn't happen out of human effort, out of human strength. And we have to understand the source of our power, and the Holy Spirit is the source of our power. See, our human strength is not our power source. Our intellect is not our power source. The number of people is not our power source. And church, we have to settle in our hearts. And sometimes I think that we say that we need a bunch of people to do something. No, what you need is the Lord, and you need His Spirit. See, what you need is the power source working through you, and it comes down to your heart. Well, Pastor, we need a bunch of men to help us and go out in the street. No, 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 no. Is the Lord with you? Are you filled with God's Spirit? Then guess what? You have what you need. The issue is what's in your heart. That's the power source. See, it's that same power that changes us. It changes us so the environment around us can be changed. See, when we have the Holy Spirit working deep down on the inside of our heart, things begin to change. And it begins to cause change not only in us, but it also begins to cause changes around us. Church, people don't get saved. People don't get saved because there's a large choir. People don't get saved because of the building or the location or the zip code. That's not why people get saved. People get saved because the power of God is working on the inside of us, making a credible witness. Yeah. See, because they can see the power of a holy God working in our lives. That's why people get saved. They can see a witness. They can see credibility. Because it's that power that's working on the inside of us that changes us. And so when we go through issues differently. We go through situations differently. So when we begin to speak about that you're more than a conqueror and that there's victory over your issues and situations in Jesus Christ, see, we're not telling them something that we read. We're telling them something that we have in fact experienced because of the power that's working on the inside of us. And with that power comes a boldness. There's a boldness that comes. There's a fearlessness that comes. We don't back down. There's a power working in us. That's how From the Heart became From the Heart, because of the power source. People don't get saved because we have a website. There's a power that's working in us to clean us up on the inside. It's the power for us to be a witness. It's the power for us to know the truth and to live that truth. It's a power to be able to obey in difficult situations. It's that power that is able to manifest the love of God. It's the power that allows us to know and to experience the love of God that passes knowledge. Church, we cannot even know the love of God until you're filled with the Spirit of God. See, what happens is it's all words on a page that God loves you, but you don't know it for yourself until you're filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says it passes our knowledge, meaning that you can't know it nor understand it with the intellect of your mind. You have to know it on the inside, and you can only know it by being filled with the Spirit of God. And when you know it, it produces a confidence in you. There's a hope in the outcome of your situations. There's a hope in the outcome of your life because you know the love of God. You know that God loves you. Come on, church. What that also lets us know is that we can't even love God without being filled with His Spirit. We can't live a self-sacrificing life without it. Come on. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in his earthly ministry. So if Jesus needed it, why don't you think we need it? He told the early church, he said, you can't do what I've told you to do. Now you go wait. You go wait in the upper room. And as they were waiting in the upper room and they begin to pray, then the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit came into the place and it began to fill them all. And when they came out of that place, they had a boldness to carry out the mission of the church. We can't really be the church without this power source. It's the power source that causes us to be who we are. Fifthly, we have a common lifestyle. Lifestyle is how we live. And we live beyond our self-interest. We have those things in common. We have those things in common. We have a righteous lifestyle. Church, we carry a righteous standard. We don't lower God's standard. We press to come up to the standard. And church, I believe in my heart, as people of color, we've been lowering the standard too low. It's not who we are. It is not who we are. We can live a righteous standard. Next, our responsibility. Our responsibility is to represent Jesus. See, we lift up Jesus. We don't lift up from the heart. We lift up Jesus. And we glorify God, meaning we allow God to be seen in us. We have to allow God to be seen in us. That's who we are. That's our responsibility. We also seek and save the lost. That's our responsibility. It is our responsibility, church, to fill up these pews, to seek and save those that are looking for the truth, those that are in need of help, those that want help, those that want to be, desire to be who God created them to be. It's our responsibility to fill these pews. See, because the Lord says, I need to work through you, but I'm no longer in the earth. So I need to work through you to seek and save the lost. But you have to realize it's your responsibility to fill the pews with the Holy Spirit working in you. Are we together, church? But in order for us to do that, we have to be sensitive to the loss. But in order for us to be sensitive to the loss have to be in our hearts. We're from the heart. We put the loss in our hearts. We put the lost in our hearts. And that makes us sensitive to the loss and causes us to be able to recognize the loss. It causes us to recognize the loss and it causes us to respond to the loss. We're from the heart. See, because the loss is in the heart of the Lord. So if the lost are in his heart, what do you think, or who do you think should be in our hearts? The lost. If we don't have a heart for the lost, we begin to realize and recognize that there's some things that we need to do. We have to put the lost in our hearts. And the way that we put the lost in our hearts is that we pray that God would make our hearts sensitive to the lost. Write that down. Yeah, I see. Write that down. We have to pray and ask the Lord to cause us to be sensitive to the loss. were from the heart. If we're not seeking and saving the lost, church, we're not yet from the heart. Then lastly, we have an assignment. An assignment is that it's to steer the church, the body of Christ. It's to steer the church, the body of Christ universal, back to Jesus Christ. God has chosen us to be at the forefront of reformation of the church. And when we talk about reformation, we're talking about refocusing the church. We want to be at the forefront of refocusing the church because the church universal has lost its focus. The church has become about politics, has become about a lot of different things other than Jesus Christ. And the thing about it, with this assignment, we're not going to be popular. We're not going to be popular. But guess what, church? That's okay. But even though we're not going to be popular, they're going to know that they need us. They're going to know that they need us. But it's not going to be popular. See, because all we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is our foundation. We believe the word of God. We have a power source. We have a common lifestyle. We're lifting up a righteous standard because we believe that our people can live it. We believe that. We believe it. It's settled in our hearts. We have a responsibility. We have an assignment. And church, we have to realize that this is who we are. And we lift up Jesus under the banner of from the heart. But being from the heart describes what is happening in our hearts. And church, we have to know and understand and accept this. Because what we'll begin to do next week, we'll begin to get into some of the doing. But when we get into the doing, it should not be strange to us because we know, accept, and understand who we are. Are we here together? Amen, church. So my time is up this morning, and I want to thank you for yours. Amen. We are from the heart. It describes who we are, describes our purpose, it describes who we're becoming. We're from the heart. We're from the heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that are listening via the CD and the internet, we just want to thank you for joining us, and we just want to share with you just for a moment what we want you to know. The church is a place to become who you desire to be. The church is a place for you to become who you desire to be. But everything begins with inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. The word of God says if we would just call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, we shall in fact be saved. And he comes into our hearts by his Spirit, begins to change us, begins to turn our life around. Right now you have a church that's praying with you and that's praying for you to make that choice and to make that decision. We want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. We love you and we're praying for you. And it's by the church that you can, in fact, become who you desire to be. you can become who you desire to be. But it happens in the church. And the entrance into the church is through Jesus Christ. Because it's the church that gives us access to Jesus, and Jesus gives us access to the Father. Everything that God has for you, and wants to do in and through your life, comes through Jesus Christ, through the church. We love you. We're praying for you. It is our desire that you would, in fact, join us once again. Amen.